Good morning, everybody. How was the keynote? Interesting? Have you seen the HoloLens? Anything? Not in the keynote. Okay. A Surface Book? No. A new band? No. Okay. So, I'm happy to be here. It's my first time ever in Stockholm. I flew in today in the morning, so I stand up at 4 a.m. in the morning to do a two-hour flight from Vienna. My name is Martina Grom. I'm an Office 365 MVP from the very beginning. We were eight in the beginning of Office 365. And I started working with the public cloud services in 2008. And this was at the time where everybody says, okay, the cloud will go away, for sure. Martina, you're totally crazy. You will never earn money with that, because nobody will do that. And after that, as you probably know, it changes a lot with the whole cloud story and everything around that. And I'm always happy to be in the Nordics because you are the innovators in cloud technologies. If you are traveling around Austria and Germany and Switzerland, they are much more afraid of using that kind of technology due to privacy, legal, whatever reasons. So, a quick question to you. Who is already productive with Office 365? Okay. And who is already using Yammer? Okay. Who likes Yammer? It's a difference. Could be. So, what I want to do today is, because I get a lot of questions, is around what to use when, because we have different tools, we have Exchange Online, we have SharePoint, we have TeamSites, we have Office 365 groups, and we have Yammer. And very often I get questions from my customers, and then they say to me, what can we do with those tools, and which is the best tool for all my requirements to use there? And to have one thing is, what I want to have that you are able after that session to decide which tool you use for which requirement, and just to let you know which tools are probably a good point to use in the moment. So the challenge is, and I had a customer in Austria, and he introduced Office 365. He started with email, followed by Skype for Business Online, and then he starts implementing its own intranet on SharePoint Online. And after they had finished that, I went to the customer and then I said, we need a social enterprise social strategy as well. So we can start with Yammer. And the customer says, are you crazy? I'm just finishing my whole intranet project. I have blogs, I have wikis, I have the newsfeed. I have everything already implemented. And now I should start with the next tool, with Yammer. And we introduced it during winter time, during the holiday season. So it was very untypical to introduce Yammer in that circumstance, because this customer had around 1,200 employees, and during holiday seasons, they are normally off work. And we started inviting them to Yammer, and what happened was that after holiday season in the new year, we had more than 80% online in Yammer, and they built their own groups and so on. And this was not a technology company. They were just a company with a center in Vienna and a lot of subs through Austria. And the requirements of that customer was they want to work together on a more informal basis, and it works very well. And another thing customers are asking me is, how can I be productive, even if I'm using only mobile devices? What's the best tool on a mobile device? Because if I'm using SharePoint 2010 or SharePoint 2013, the mobile experience is not there, or not yet there. We will have it with the next-gen portals, but we don't have it yet. And with Yammer, they have a good mobile experience as well. And last year, what happened after that, after we introduced Yammer and everything, what happens, Microsoft introduced Office 365 groups. And then all the Yammer haters said, oh, I see, there's groups, a new social experience within Office 365. We don't need to use Yammer. And on the other thing side, it is groups are just in development. So they're not ready for full production use. And this is one of the challenges we have today. As you might see, this is our dream, working in a connected world and having everything together and use it together in there. And if you talk with customers or go to a customer, this is the reality. Many people don't have the time to use different tools throughout the day. They just want to do their work. They want valuable tools and they want relevant content. So the tool could be there. It could be a pretty tool. It could be a beautiful tool. But if the content is not valuable within the tool, nobody has time for that. So if you're going through things like that, it's always a challenging decision to do that. This is how Microsoft wants it to have. In most companies, we have a very hierarchical structure. So we have a top-down hierarchy. You have the executive who says something to the managers, and then you have the employees who do their work as well. But what happens in such a kind of siloed structure is that you don't share your knowledge between each other. So you don't share best practices. You do things once and twice and the third time and everything there. So it's not working like a network. And the modern enterprise tries to be more like a network, to have it more connected, because it's not important if you're a manager, an executive, a simple employee. It's just around the knowledge and the relevancy of the content, which helps you do your work in a better way. So if we look at that, we see how this changes over time and how we have that in our structure and in our environments in there. If we talk about social tools, the still most important social tool is email. And this is a reality among every country. Very often, because I travel a lot, I talk to people from Sweden, people from Norway, people from the United States, and they said, Martina, it's completely different in our country. We use email and so on. And if you look at the statistics, you see that over 90% of all users doing the work in email use Outlook the whole day as a project management tool, as a task management tool, as a calendar, contacts, everything. And this is true for any country you look there. And what is under development is instant messaging. Who is using Skype for Business? And what about SharePoint and portals for intranets? Okay. So what we see there is that this kind of stuff is still developing, as well as microblogs, Twitter, Facebook, social tools in the whole environment. So which tool should I use for all my requirements in the company? And there is a nice use case in our daily use. So imagine we are organizing a conference. So I have the idea we want to organize Tech Days Stockholm 2016. And I write that idea to a friend of me who needs to help me organizing the conference. So I just write him an email. I get the response, oh, it's a great idea. Let's talk about that. Then we are switching channels. We move away from email, go into Skype for Business Online, and talk to each other or do instant chat, whatever. So we are talking about the conference there, and then my friend told me, we need to write that down to share our ideas. And for that, we are using the next channel, the next tool, OneNote. So we are writing down all our ideas there. And then he said, okay, we are only two people. We are far too less people to organize a huge conference. So we need more people and we need to share our ideas. So where can we share that? So we store our OneNote on OneDrive for Business to get it shared with other people. And from there, we can build an Office 365 group because we can store our OneDrive, OneNote in the group folder because there is a OneNote included. So with the group, we can invite more people from our company. We can chat about that. We can share our ideas in the OneNote. We can have our own page there with the group and so on. And after a couple of weeks, we see that we need external people, a vendor who helps us with deciding which location to use, another one for the food, another one for the security. So we need external people. And this is the next time we switch channel because we need an external Yammer network to do that. We cannot do that within groups. So we have now our external Yammer network with external people, with our internal folks and so on, and are communicating again. And then we said, okay, now we have a meeting about everything to have a good organization. We switch back to Skype for Business Online and we share all documents which we have collected in the meantime on a team site because OneDrive for Business is not enough anymore because we need to share it also with external people and have some security and compliance stuff there. And after that, the conference takes place and each session was recorded. And we want to have the sessions, the recorded sessions provided to all our team members. And therefore, we use the video portal on SharePoint Online. So you see, each tool has its own function, but there is not the one and only tool which can be used throughout the whole process. We are switching tools each day. You are switching tools each day also in private mode. WhatsApp, Facebook chat, Facebook, Twitter. Whatever tool you are using, LinkedIn, email, Skype. So we are used to do that. And we can also do that in our companies, just using the tool which helps us the most in the current environment. This is another picture how it looks like. This is the reality in most enterprises. Email is the biggest bubble because it does everything, project management, task management, and so on. And the other tools are just little helpers in our environment where we do that. But if you try to make it from the perspective, is it urgent? Should I use it one to many? Should I use it many to many? Should I use it together and so on? The picture is different. So one of the biggest examples is by myself. I receive between 150 and 200 emails per day. That means every email takes in average 3 minutes, I'm on 600 minutes email per day. Is that productive? It's 10 hours. I can't do that. It's impossible. So that means if a customer expects me to send me an email and gets an instant reply, he has to wait because it's not an instant messaging system. If a customer needs to have an urgent answer from me, he needs either chat with me or call me. direct messages on Twitter works as well. But email is not the right medium for that. So it's extremely important to choose the right medium for how important it is between the communication and how urgent and how many people are involved. On the other side, very often when I work with customers and they are using Yammer, they said, Yammer is completely useless because I'm asking questions there and never get a reply. Because I'm just throwing my questions out there. I'm not tagging anyone. I'm not posting my questions in the correct groups. I'm not involving people in there. And they don't get a reply. So if you expect to have an instant reply, call the person or instant message him. Don't put it out to email or a social tool. So let's go through the tools and what I tried just to show what is the best environment to using tools there. So if we see there, email has a huge advantage. First, we are used to use it. Who of you has the impression to stay the whole day in his inbox and writing emails and answering and things like that? What happens there? Email is simple. You can use it, you can write messages and so on. So and we are used to use it. And it's well known. I got my first email address in 1992. I was one of the first on the University of Vienna. It was a hype medium and everybody says, oh, will this develop in the future? Email? Who needs that? That kind of communication. And now, after almost 23 years, oh my God, I'm that old. After that time, you see, we are simply used to it. We write emails for everything. And if you look at emails, the average answer of an email, the average character size of an email answer is less than 50 characters. So the thank you emails, I've read that emails, are just not relevant anymore because the message size is also too short. And another thing I learned with email, try to bring it to the point in the first three lines. Otherwise, the reader will get lost. If we write an email that size, nobody will read it anymore. After three sentences, the average attention rate of a person is lost. So bring it to the point, three lines. Next one, SharePoint. SharePoint is a platform. It's a huge platform. It's a convenient one. We can use it for structured data. We can use it for processes. We can use it for workflows and so on. We can also use it for ad hoc team communication, building a team site, sharing documents and so on. We have advantages in there. Document security, governance, privacy settings. We have all that kind of stuff there. We can build workflows. We can use it for one-to-many or one-to-one communication. So this is the best use case for using a SharePoint platform. And then we have Office 365 groups. Office 365 groups are like an umbrella. I will show you later. And Office 365 groups are, from a technical perspective, they are really awesome because they are relying on Azure Active Directory. And that means they are included in any service. You find them in emails, you find them in SharePoint, you have a OneNote, you will have an integration in CRM Online, you will have the integration everywhere throughout the service. So the group will follow you throughout your work. And that means Office 365 are totally user-centric. And I love that. User-centric means an IT admin calls you in the morning and says, what the hell have you done with Office 365? It changed overnight. And users are asking me, what changed there? So user-centric means you get features in your tenant and cannot switch them off from an IT perspective. So then users start to try them out and use them. It's Office 365 are also self-service, so any user can create them. They can create them for teamwork and just using it there. And one of the advantages or the disadvantages, depending on the point of view, Office 365 groups are by today internal only, so you cannot include external people to the groups. And this is where Yammer takes place, because within Yammer you can do that. You can invite external people to a thread, to a group, to an external network. And with Yammer, what I've seen there is Yammer is really simple to introduce in a company. Because everybody knows how social media works, everybody knows how it looks like, everybody knows how the tool should work in there. And in the beginning of Yammer, I see it a lot from IT departments, is we plan the rollout of Yammer. You cannot plan a rollout of Yammer. You cannot even trial it. Because if you sign up with your company domain, you have created the Yammer network already. So you cannot cut people out of the network, because this is the social environment it should use by inviting colleagues and collaborating with them. And Skype for Business or Skype for Business Online, it's just for the instant communication you have there. So chat, web conference, voice, whatever. And Skype for Business Online, one of the advantages is it's not only time saving, it's also a good cost reduction if you have to travel a lot. So for instance, if I have customers in Germany, I cannot travel to Munich for a 1 hour meeting. I do that a lot with Skype for Business Online, talking there, make the meeting, and afterwards switch into another meeting. When we are talking about introducing that kind of tools, there is a difference between how do we do that, how do we introduce a tool. And what we saw there is if you are just roll out Yammer without any moderation, without any social media guidelines, without any usage guidelines, and without any communication, it probably dies. So you will see after a couple of months, people recognize there is no relevant content in for me, and they just leave the network because it's not relevant for them. And what you see there in these curves is what happens there if you try to manage it. It will happen in a better way, sooner and faster, and more introduced. If you don't do that, it will happen as well, but kind of slower. And this is, I love that graphic because it describes how IT normally works. I don't want Office 365. The cloud will go away. Nobody will use that. We have so many technical issues there. We won't use them. We don't need them. Oh, my manager told me I have to look at it. Oh, I need an expert to speed up with technical perspective and to bring it in there. Oh, I need to have a rollout next month. And this is a very typical scenario you see in IT departments. And the big difference is the market or the users say, I have Windows 10 already. I use OneDrive at home. Why can't I use the same tools with the same convenient environment in my company and in my environment? And this is how it happens with enterprise IT. For instance, I have a customer, and I talked with them about the new deployment, Office 365 Pro Plus deployment. You probably know there are branches. The rollouts will be in branches. That means you will get updates each month. Or if you switch to a business branch, you will get updates each 4 months. And you have 8 months to test the updates and to roll it out to your computers. And this kind of customer has a rollout planning which takes 18 months. And I said to him, we need to reduce that to 8 months to be in a supported and in a service state with the office updates in there. And this is a big challenge for IT companies in the moment because they are not used to it. They are used to install a service pack, test the service pack, and then roll it out. And now we have updates each month or every 4 months, for instance. So Exchange Online, I had already. How does Yammer look like? Just take a look in there. A presentation. And open it up in private mode. Can turn in and the other side I open up Office, then I sign in into my demo environment. I'm currently Karen Berg, signing in into Office 365. And what she can do there, she has a unified experience, so she switches to her sites. And from there, she can open up Yammer. Same, because I'm in private mode, doesn't have any cookie or any token for me. Good experience. So, take it again. Okay. I'll switch to another browser. And probably to another user. Okay, Kelly works, Karen doesn't. No matter. So let's sign in Kelly on Office 365 as well. So when she signs in into Office 365 and switches in, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When she switched to her Yammer environment, you see, it's quite simple in there. So she has on the left side, she has her Yammer groups where she can collaborate. Here, announcements in the group. And what is an announcement? An announcement of a group is each group member gets the announcement and gets recognized about that. One of the things is if customers are starting with Yammer and they are relying still to email, in the beginning they said, I need notifications also in Outlook because otherwise I can't follow up with my Yammer environment. How can you deal with that? So for instance, I have here my group, it's Business Excellence IT. And I have here some group pictures and so on, and I'm a member of that group here. Karen is the administrator, I'm just a member. And what can I do to follow up with that? I just can subscribe to the group. And that means every time another person subscribes to my, does anything, posts in the group, does anything within the group, I will get a notification. And the advantage in there is, if I subscribe to the group, is a customer of me, he replaced his distribution lists with Yammer groups. How did they do that? They built groups in Yammer for each former distribution list. And then they talked with the people and said, okay, every relevant content for our department is in the future in the Yammer group. Please subscribe to the Yammer group because we will close down any distribution list in the next 2 weeks. This wouldn't work if you do it on both sides. So still use the distribution list and have the Yammer group. Because in that environment, you have two channels. And the user does not need to decide because he says, I'm still with distribution lists, I'm fine with that, because I already have them in Outlook. But if you reduce the amount of distribution lists, you can switch users over to the Yammer group. And this specific customer, he has now an engagement rate around 39% in his Yammer network because the content for the department is there and they can talk in there. So what else can you do? In the beginning, if you start with Yammer, teach your persons to have their profile settings in there. So have a proper picture, have their profile filled out with skills and everything in there. But in the beginning, it's extremely important because very often you hear that Yammer is too chatty. I wanted to reduce emails. Now I get even more. I get an email when I like something, when somebody posts something, and so on. So I have more emails than in the beginning with Yammer. And this is something which is important for the users to let them know how can they deal with notifications. You can do from an administrative perspective, you can say, okay, our users get a digest daily or weekly, but you cannot turn it off. Only the user can turn it off if he don't likes it. And here in that example, you see Kelly is member of two groups, two distribution lists, and she just signs into that according groups and gets any notification in there. So Yammer will be a useful tool. I have another example. From my perspective, Yammer cannot exist without email. My personal Yammer notification settings were broken in the summer. It starts end of July. It was fixed now with Yammer support in September because in the first months I didn't care. And then I saw that I'm missing important stuff with my customers because I'm a member of, I think, around 55 external networks. And they don't get any notifications anymore from my Yammer network. And that means I need to go into each network actively and look for new notifications and new things to do there. So email will help you also with notifications, but be careful because Yammer could be very chatty. Other point is, from a SharePoint perspective, if you are there and can sign in and you see, okay, I wanna integrate my business excellence IT group into a SharePoint site, you can also do that very easily. So switch over to SharePoint. And I created a SharePoint site where I am a member of. Just copy the link. Yes or no, I'm timed out. So again. The timeout within the SharePoint site collection administration is less than in the whole portal. So I switch over to that Sight collection. It's a complete new one, and as it is with team sites, I have the newsfeed in there, and I want to replace the newsfeed with my Yammer group. So I delete it here, and the trick is I just insert the news, the feed from that group, and to get to the feed, switch to the group. And on the right side is embed this feed to your site, copy that, and paste it into your SharePoint site. Insert. And save. So you see, we have replaced the SharePoint newsfeed very easily with a Yammer newsfeed, and we can start integrating Yammer into our SharePoint portal as well. This was the easiest method. Yes, it's not pretty. You can make it more pretty if you know how to handle with JavaScript, but it's a very easy way to integrate all Yammer groups into a SharePoint portal site as well. And you have it there and can start communicating in there. So, like there, and type anything, and give it and post it into the group. Just check here, and you see you have the same experience already on the Yammer site. From a SharePoint perspective, another example is very often people say, okay, I don't want to have my document stored in Yammer. I want the document stored out of SharePoint. So if I create a new Word document, for instance, and save it, I have here my new Word document. I have also here a post feature, so I can just sign in into Yammer and post the document into my Yammer group. So see here, can take some people, and we take the Business Excellence IT group, and I can write also some kind of stuff there. So there is an integration, and you have it already there. So switch back to our Yammer group, refresh, and here you see we have the document there. And what's happening there is it's just posted via a link, and I have my document in there, and I can edit it as well. Another example can be, and this is also with some customers, they do it a lot because they said, okay, I need to share documents directly within Yammer. So if I create another document and save it just to the desktop, and then switch back to my Yammer environment and have it here, drag and drop it. So upload the document directly into Yammer. So this document is stored there. One of the new things I have there is when I post it, is that the document is also rendered with Word Online. So you can directly edit it within Word Online in Yammer, so you don't need to download it, you can just edit it in there whenever it opens. I hope it will open. I like that when demos are working as well as they did in the moment, so take some time, maybe it works afterwards. So you have those kind of options as well, and you can use them from here. So things we will have in Yammer, and these are some of the news people are really waiting for, is we will have, or we already have, an integration into Yammer, into Azure Active Directory. That means if you are currently syncing all your Active Directory users already to Office 365, those users can sign into Yammer with simplified login. So there is no selected Yammer directory sync anymore necessary. So you just use Active Directory accounts, which helps a lot. You have the Office Online edit, where you have seen the great demonstration I just made. Normally, it renders out in Word Online. There are some UI design changes, so they just try to keep Yammer the modern way and have it in there. Another thing we will see in the future is you can discuss content which is available in Delve already in a Yammer group. So you will see that as well. And we will have a group integration into Yammer. That means each Office 365 group, which will take place in the tenant, will be also a Yammer group and will be synchronized in there. So that would help as well. And there are also depreciating features. So one of the features which goes out of Yammer in the next couple of months is you won't see any Atom feeds in there. So if you're relying on any RSS feed in Yammer for notifications and so on, you have to go through the Yammer API to build it from there. Groups. Talked a lot about that. Who already played around with groups, Office 365 groups. Okay. What are groups? And this is the best description you can have there. This is the slide which was most often used describing groups. Groups are groups of people which are created within Azure Active Directory. So you have the group in Azure Active Directory. Instead of having a SharePoint group or an Exchange distribution list or other separate groups, you have the one universal group, and it's also called in PowerShell universal group in Azure Active Directory. And Azure Active Directory is the basis for any other service. So you have, you need Azure Active Directory for Exchange Online, for SharePoint Online, for Skype for Business Online, for any other service, for CRM Online. And that helps groups to be part of each selected service. So that's why it's kind of an umbrella. And when you create a group in the Office Graph, who knows what the Office Graph is? Microsoft spyware. Many customers talk about that. So the Office Graph is just a simple description for me, it's like a reverse search. The Office Graph sees what people are you following, what content are you looking at within your Office 365 environment, what things you are working on, and the Office Graph tries through Delve show you a selected workplace where you have relevant content for you in there. So you see it from there. So, and if we have groups there, we create a group and the group gets its own mailbox, its own calendar, its own OneNote. It will get its own team site or OneDrive for Business site. So you have it also in SharePoint Online. In the future, we will see groups taking place in Skype for Business Online. So each group will be there as well. So you can have group chats, things like that. And we have already the integration into Dynamics CRM Online. So each group can also be in there in CRM Online and also Yammer and so on. So they try to implement groups in any new services. A new service where you see groups already is, for instance, is Planner. Planner is a nice little planning tool which will be rolled out, I think, by the beginning of next year into Office 365, where you can do a little bit project management and stuff like that. So this is what groups is. Benefits, we have already talking about them. One of the benefit is it's public by default. Normally you cannot switch them off. You can share groups to non-members. That means you can include other persons as well. And they are very simple to manage. I made my joke about SharePoint Online PowerShells because in the beginning there were only 33. For groups, we have 10 PowerShells by today, 10, for the whole group management features in there. So how does it look like? You see here Outlook conversations, files, notebook, Skype, people, and calendar. And how does that look like in practice? Go back to my, I'll try it again with my broken Chrome. To have, Karen signed in. So Karen is now here within her Office 365 experience. She switches to Outlook or Outlook Mobile. And on the left side, you have the group in there. So she can very easily create a new group. So switch to create group, give the group a name, Tech Days. See, the Tech Days name is available. Take it Tech Days 2015. This is our planning group for Tech Days. Stockholm 2015. Then she can decide, will the group be public or private? So that means she can approve members, or it's an open group, stay it open. Choose the language of the group. And then she can also say every new member will have an automatic subscription. So if you don't receive a lot of emails, subscribe to the group as well. Then it's almost as chatty as Yammer is while sending out emails. Then she can add some members, not Karen, I need Kelly. And I will also add Ellen and Anna. So I have now my group created. And what happens in the background is the group is created. In the background, the mailbox gets provisioned, the OneNote gets provisioned, and a OneDrive for Business document library gets provisioned as well. So she can also extend the group, took a picture, build a picture in there. So from Tech Days, take that one, have a nice picture in there and the description, and save. So you see, it's very easy for each user to create the group, and she can do it, almost every user can do it from there. Normally, this is the moment where each IT administrator says, how can I switch that off, that function? There is a PowerShell I show you afterwards. In the group, you can start conversations, or you can switch to OneDrive for Business or use the calendar. And here you see the conversation is like in Yammer. So just chat and change people, add pictures, and so on. So you have the conversation in there. And you see in the conversation, if you have a group conversation. With pictures and attachments and so on. And as soon as you have it, you have the whole social functions, like I can like the conversation, I can chat with that and so on. On the other side, if we switch back to Kelly and look what she gets here, if she turns in into her email and switches in there in her mailbox, same experience. She has the group already here. She sees there are two new messages. They are unread, and she can just switch in there, read the messages and so on, or answer and like them, whatever. So you see, this is very easy. She don't want to have so much emails from the group, so each user is able to unsubscribe to that. That means she stays member of the group, but she don't receives any notification emails anymore. And what else can you do there? She can add the calendar, add members and things like that, or open up OneNote, or she can just switch over to files. And this is a one Drive for Business account, which counts to your quota of SharePoint Online, but you can use it within the group. So it's also very comfortable to have it there. So go there. Provisioning takes place, and here you can share all your files within the team. So groups is a really nice experience for a team collaboration. Very easy. This is the advantage of groups. Disadvantage, I see you, I remember you. Disadvantage is if the group got deleted, you don't have any backup yet. So this was the question. I know what you want to have. Yet. Hear my words. The other question was the same? Yeah. From my perspective, yes. If you don't have external members included within Yammer, you can go with groups, yes. Another disadvantage or another thing you have to consider is Yammer works as a standalone tool. It's not relying on Exchange Online or on SharePoint Online or Skype for Business Online. You can just start with it. If you have Office 365 and only provision SharePoint Online and no Exchange, there is a part missing for your groups. So consider that as well. If you need a standalone thing, it's probably better to stay with Yammer. From an admin perspective, you see here we have 10 PowerShells. And what we see here is we can, for instance, I'm already signed in, we can, for instance, check which groups we have within our Office 365 tenant. And we can just list them and see, okay, we have three groups there, the TechDays groups and so on. And also an administrator is able to provide groups for the users. So from an IT perspective, he can also set, okay, I want to have a new group. So for instance, he takes the TechDays groups, he can just provision it. So first we make the group. Oops, wrong picture. So we make our group, and then after the group is provisioned, we will see that the group is here and can be available after a time. What I learned, if you're using PowerShell, provisioning takes place. So the best thing is 1 minute. The worst part could be 30 minutes. So it highly depends on the provisioning within the tenant to have the group there. So as you see there, it takes some time to provision a new group because he has to make an email and stuff like that. So see here. And if we check that again, get our unified group and do that, then we will have the groups already there. So you can automate some things. Other PowerShells you have there, you can add members via PowerShell to the group, and you can also add owners to the selected groups. So it's very simple with PowerShells. And you can also delete them. If you don't want to have any groups included in your tenant, this is the PowerShell to disable that. And that means if you disable that, users are no longer able to create their own Office 365 groups in there. I've talked to a lot of customers who also said, okay, I can't do that in the moment. I have to check that first, what will be our strategy in there, and so on. So you see now we have our tech desk group. Took a while. Keeps me talking, and then you can add your members and do those things in there. But it takes a while from that perspective. So if we go back to the graphic I provided prior where I tried to select it, this is the same, but it includes already the group perspective. And you see groups covers a lot, because groups cover the whole environment around. It could cover Yammer, it could replace Skype for Business Online, because it includes everything in there. And it can also be a team site for many users. I discussed that a lot with SharePoint users who said, okay, I don't need any team sites more. I just create groups and have everything in there. So this could also be a good discussion in there. And this is also, you probably know, there will be a group mobile app. It's already available on iOS and Android and also on Windows Phone, which you can use and have also your groups with you on your mobile devices. So it's pretty much the same how it looks like. Integration, we already talked about that, the Yammer integration part into SharePoint. Groups are pretty well integrated in the service already. And what about the roadmap? Because I got a lot of questions around what do I have in the future with groups, or is it worth waiting for future development in there? You have already the group experience in Outlook 2016. You won't see any groups in Outlook 2013. So please consider that as well. If you're not ready with Outlook 2016, you don't have any user experience around that. Office Graph and Delve experience is already in there. Skype Meet Now means you will have the possibility to chat with a group. This is something we only had with Skype for the consumer version. We will have that in the future as well. Files and Pages, we have already invite guest users. That means external access is on the roadmap and will be there as well. From the administration point is currently no backup, no e-discovery, things like that. But those are things where Microsoft is hardly looking into that to provide those data loss prevention, legal hold possibilities, and so on. Even soft delete and restore is not possible in the moment, but will happen. And you will also have an expiry date for inactive groups. Otherwise, it might be a nightmare with more than 1,000 groups which nobody uses in there. So you can also do it in there. If you are looking at the roadmap of Office 365, please follow that. Don't be surprised if you get things in your tenant. The possibility that new features are on the roadmap is very high. Sometimes you get surprised about a rollout. Sometimes even Microsoft is surprised because they rolled out something by accident. and made it roll back afterwards. But normally, if you want to see what will happen with the tenant, you will see that on the roadmap as well. So to finish my session, I hope I just gave an impression about how to use different tools in your environment, and don't rely too much on the tool. You are switching channel every day. And don't expect Microsoft build the one and only solution. If you want that, you can try to do it in Outlook. Good luck. But normally, just try to switch to those tools which are the most valuable for the current work issue you have to solve. So have a good conference. If there are any questions, please let me know. Thank you.